And what are we doing with this precious, precious time that God has given to us? You see, we need to realize that time is important.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Stewardship, Your Time. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Stewardship, Your Time.
The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. The faster it goes. I was going to say, can I get an amen? But I know I'm not going to get an amen on that. I know I'm not going to get an amen on that. So, the question is, how can we be good stewards of the time that God has given us? He has made us stewards over our time. How can we be good stewards over the time that God has given us? Psalm 90 in verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The psalmist asked God to cause him to stop and reflect on the brevity of life, how short life is, and then with an understanding heart, exercise wisdom every day. Lord, give me wisdom to spend my 24 hours, my, 1,440 minutes and 86,600 seconds. That memory, right? All right. Used to be able to do that. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Thank you for helping out an old man. All right. So, you know, that I need to realize and ask God to give me wisdom every day to know how to use this time that he's given me. You know, I've had the opportunity to do many funerals, and, you know, sometimes I kind of say certain things over and over because I think that people need to hear them. But I remember reading an article, and I've shared this at a lot of funerals that I've preached, and it said that if you were 35 years old, that you only have 500 days to live. And they went on kind of like what we talked about earlier. If you take the time sleeping, working, you know, going back and forth to do things, getting ready, getting dressed, all these little things that they would add up, and that you would actually only have, if you were 35, you would only have 500 days for you to look at and say, look, whatever I want to do, I can do with these 500 days. And then I always come back and, you know, that's the good news, right? That's the good news. If you're 35, you have 500 days. But as I look at this crowd this morning, I don't see too many. You know, I say that most of us are on the other side of 35, right? So what is that saying? That those 500 days, you know, down to 400, 300, you know, that you can actually do the things that you want to do with. And so when you put it that way, that makes the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90 to be more realistic. Lord, teach me the number of my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Lord, let me fill my days with the noble, with the righteous, with the beneficial, with the things that will just make a difference in the world. Help me to number my days. That, Lord, when I sit down each day, whether it's in the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, or the end of the day, and I have my day planner, I have my iPhone, my iPad, my whatever device it is that I look at and I plan my day out. Lord, teach me to number my days and make sure I'm filling this day with the things that are beneficial. Now, I'm finding out, you know, for me, I'm just going to be honest with you, is sometimes filling that day with a nap is beneficial. Right? You know, sometimes you got to put that in there, right, so that you can restore and refire. Okay? Somebody thinks that's funny, huh? All right. So, you know, I mean, you got to look at your day and ask yourself, Lord, how can I best utilize this day to your honor and glory? And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with relaxing and you're watching your favorite programs. I said something earlier about TV, but, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know. But where is, you know, the things that are beneficial in your day? Where are the things that are going to impact others in your day? And so we need to, as the psalmist said, number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The second, let me put this up here. I saw this and I liked it. Yesterday is the canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash you have. Spend it wisely. Spend it wisely. And I think one of the things I can say, that by nature of the fact, or by virtue of the fact that you came here today and you're sitting here right now, I would say, I think God would say too, you're spending your time wisely. This is a wise investment of your time. So that when you stay at home with Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets, All right. Let me go on. I like that though. Yesterday is a canceled check. You might want to remember this and write it down somewhere. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash you have. So spend it wisely. The second thing, as we look at how to be a good steward of your time, is you've got to redeem the time. You got to redeem the time. In Ephesians 5:16, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This word redeem is a very interesting word. It means to buy up or buy back. It can also be translated make the most of. And not that I'm trying to give you a Greek or English lesson, but it's in the present continuous, which means to continuously be buying back the time. You know, just don't say, well, okay, you know, I'm going to buy it back tomorrow or I'm going to buy it back next week. Paul says that we should be continuously buying up the time, utilizing the time, redeeming the time with things that count. You know, I like the song that I heard years ago, and we used to sing it, but it said, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. How can I redeem the time? Just by helping others. Just by giving others a word of encouragement. Just by sending an encouraging email to somebody else. Just by maybe writing a note and sending it to somebody. Maybe by picking up the phone and leaving a message on something. Brighten the corner. That's redeeming the time. That's what it's talking about. You know, it blessed my heart. And, you know, man, I praise God for, you know, the members of Bethany, because you guys are some faithful individuals. I say the members of Bethany are faithful. And, you know, when I came here Monday after the church had flooded, and I saw about five or six brothers with wet vacs that came down just when an email was sent out, and they came down and they were vacuuming up the water that was everywhere, you know, that's redeeming the time. That's redeeming the time. You may go sit with someone who is hurting and in need and might not even have to say a word. And you might sit there and think that I'm wasting my time. No, no, no. Your presence is redeeming the time. You know, the Bible says that when Job lost his family, his health, and his possessions, he lost everything, that his friends came for 7 days. And they just sat there. They sat there. And I believe that everything was all right until they opened their mouth. Because then that's you remember Job said, man, you guys are miserable counselors. He said, you are miserable. So as long as they sat there, I believe that there was the presence, the ministry of presence. And if God so put some pearls of wisdom within us that we can deposit, then how much more beneficial that is. But sometimes just sitting with somebody who's hurting, somebody who's struggling, just sitting there, and you might think to yourself, man, I'm just wasting my time, right? But no, no, no. You're redeeming the time. You're redeeming the time. Buy it back. Look for opportunities to buy it up. You know, I thank God for grandmothers, because there's a lot of grandmothers that where maybe the kids are not doing what they're supposed to do, but the grandmothers, praise God, are picking up the slack and putting spiritual input into the grandchildren. That's redeeming the time. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, buy it up. You know, look for opportunities to buy up and buy back the time. Just don't let time go. Like I said, you can chase it all you want to and try to get time to stop. Man, you know, you can chase a lot of things. You might miss the bus, right? And if you are in the bus driver's view, I don't know if he'll do this or not, but maybe he might stop. The bus driver might stop and wait for you. Right? No, somebody said he's not? Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, Emil, there goes that illustration. There goes that illustration. So, well, let me fix it up. And let me say this, that the bus driver is like... There's no bus drivers in here. Somebody say, yeah, I'm right here. I'm going to see you after. Well, we got a business meeting, so I'm going to be up here, man. I'm not going to stand in the back. All right. So you got to redeem the time, and you got to understand the time. You got to understand the time. Let me visit that same verse, Ephesians 5:16. And he says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The word time is the Greek word kairos, and it means opportune time. Opportune time. Now you say, okay, come on. You got to make that a little bit more clear, Pastor Glaze. You got to fill me in a little bit more. Okay, well, look at your notes. I put an illustration in there for you. The word opportunity comes from the Latin opportu. In the olden days, ships had to wait for a specific point in time for the tide to bring them into the harbor. If the captain of the ship missed that tide, missed that opportunity to come into the harbor, then he would have to wait for the tide for the next time to come in. And so, if we are going to be good stewards of our time, that we have to realize the opportunities, the windows of opportunity in our life. And that when those windows of opportunity open, that we have to be ready to move into that opening. He says, redeeming the time, redeeming the kairos, redeeming those opportune moments. Like in certain situations, you may have opportunities to spend with somebody that you'll never have again. And so you need to realize that this opportunity, that this window is open. And if you miss it, only by the grace of God will you get another one. But if you miss it, the chances are that you might not ever get it again. And so that kind of leads me to my last point. So I'm going to kind of intertwine these two points together. And that is, give time to the Lord. Because if you give time to the Lord, then you will be wise in how you spend your time. If you give time to the Lord, watch this, you'll be able to recognize those opportune moments. See, if you're not walking with God, and those moments of opportunity arise, then what's going to happen is that you're going to be spiritually blinded. And so when those opportunities come, you're going to miss them. And then it might be sometime later that you look back and you say, man, I should have did that when I had the opportunity. But praise God, when you are spending time with God, when you are giving time to the Lord, and I would say that every child of God should carve out time for God. Turn to Psalm 100, and I'll be done. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. The first thing, as far as giving time to God, that you ought to give personal time. Personal time. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so the idea here is that there is an unrestricted call to everyone to come and praise the Lord. That on a personal basis, that the whole world is invited to come. Notice he says, all ye lands, come and make a joyful noise. That on an individual basis, that every individual is invited to come and have time with God. So you ought to have your personal time when you spend with the Lord. You know, I don't know how long that is. You know, different people have different needs. So whatever you deem necessary to spend with the Lord on a personal basis, you need to be spending time with the Lord on a regular basis. Where you come into his presence, where you are opening your soul to his word, where you are communicating with him in prayer. And you know, when we did our study on prayer, we realized that prayer means, you know, petition, praise, thanksgiving, meditation, intercession, waiting, listening, you know, that all those things are involved in prayer. Will you come one-on-one with God? That's some of the best use of time that you can make is to spend time with God. The best use of your time. I can't think of anything better for you personally than to spend that individual time with God. The second thing that we see is corporate time. And the corporate time is found in verse 4. Look what he says here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Well, what does that mean? That's the corporate worship, where you come and you worship with other people. And this is, you know, I have people, we did hard questions the other day, and somebody asked a question, you know, do you need to go to church? You know, why should I go to church? And, you know, my answer always is, you know, and somebody will tag on to that, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I said, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, you couldn't have said that better yourself, that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That, you know, you can accept Jesus Christ and you can be on your way to heaven and you don't have to darken the doors of anybody's church. But then you got to look at the Bible and in the New Testament. And they got all those, I don't know how many there is, 15. All right. The one another's in the New Testament. You can't do the one another's in the New Testament at home. You know, that is designed for you to do in fellowship with others. And then Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. And
Even if you look at God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, there is fellowship within the Trinity. And I would hope that when I know, like, if somebody loses a loved one, that, you know, the body, you know, not all the body, but people in the body rally around the help in whatever way they can to pray for the person. And so, I mean, there's just so many benefits that God has ingrained in corporate worship. And so, you know, God's desire, as we look at Psalm 100 in verse 4, is the gather, is the come into his praise, come into his courts with thanksgiving, enter into his gates with praise. That's the corporate worship of God's people. And then we see, finally, that you should use your time serving God. That you ought to be able to connect your life with some kind of service. You know, one thing I like about Bethany is that we have a prayer ministry here. So that even if, you know, you are physically unable to participate in some type of active service, that you can, you know, be a part of the prayer ministry and still be connected with Bethany Baptist Church. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. As I close this morning, many of us have heard of Alfred Nobel. He was a Swedish chemist. Nobel woke up one morning and he read his own obituary in the local newspaper. And it said, Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before. And he died a very rich man. The only problem was that this was not Nobel, Alfred Nobel, but it was his brother that died. And when Nobel read this, he decided that he didn't want to be known for the destruction of lives and the innocent people that would be killed because of his invention. So he initiated the Nobel Peace Prize, the award for scientists and writers who foster peace. He woke up one morning, saw his obituary, and saw the thing that he would be remembered for, and thought to himself, nah, I don't want to be remembered for that. And he did something that made a difference in life. He used his time to turn it from destruction to helping others. One of the things that I read as I was studying, it said, what do you want written on your tombstone? And whatever it is that you want written on your tombstone, begin to work backward. What it is? What is it that you want? Because the way that you get whatever it is that's written on your tombstone is because you have invested your time in doing the thing that caused that to be written. Time is life, and life is time. God has given us time, and in this time, he has given us life. And you are a steward. You are a steward over the time that God has given you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Stewardship, Your Talents. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Stewardship, Your Time, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship, Your Time. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship, Your Time. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.